Chapter 11. Donna meets Penny. Donna and Chris are sitting in Joyce's apartment with cups of tea. Opposite them are Jason Ritchie and Bobby Tanner, whom detectives all over England have not been able to find. Elizabeth will not share how she found him. Elizabeth tells them she and Joyce have both seen information proving that Bobby was not in Fairhaven when Tony Curran was murdered. Bobby will tell the police everything he knows and then be allowed to disappear back to his life. "A bit more than $100,000, says Bobby. "Johnny had it at his apartment. He kept money safe for Tony. Tony went to Cyprus several times, but never found him. Nothing was the same after that."
"Jason, you went off, didn't you? Started doing TV."
Jason nods.
"I couldn't do it anymore."
"But surely someone saw Johnny," asks Donna. "If he came back to town recently..."
Bobby thinks about this.
"There's not too many faces left from those days."
"It's hard to know who Johnny would go to if he needed a place to stay," agrees Jason.
Bobby looks at Jason.
"Unless..."
Jason looks back at Bobby, then nods.
"Of course, of course."
He immediately starts writing a text.
"Are you going to share this?" asks Elizabeth.
"It's just someone me and Bobby need to talk to," says Jason. "Someone who'll know."
His phone pings. He looks down, then turns to Bobby.
"He can meet us at 2. That okay for you?"
Bobby nods and Jason starts replying to the message.
"Only one place for it, don't you think?"
2 hours later, Jason and Bobby are having lunch at Le Pont Noir, just like old times. But, of course, not like them at all.
"So, what are you doing now? Racing horses? Flying to the moon?" asks Jason.
Bobby Tanner shakes his head and smiles.
"I'd never tell you, even if you guessed."
"Are you happy, though?"
Jason asks.
Bobby nods.
"Good. You deserve it,"
says Jason.
"We both do," agrees Bobby.
"Well, we do and we don't," says Jason.
They have just finished a bottle of one of Le Pont Noir's very expensive wines.
"You think he'll know?" asks Bobby.
"If Johnny's been here, he'll know. That's where Johnny would stay."
"I can't drink at lunchtime anymore," says Bobby. "Can you?"
"We're old men now, Bobby," agrees Jason. "Time for another bottle, though?"
They agree that they do have time for another bottle. And then Steve Urcan walks in. After their last meeting at Cooper's Chase, Elizabeth had told Donna that she wanted her to meet someone. She then led her to Willows, the nursing home attached to Cooper's Chase. They had walked into the room and Elizabeth had said,
"Constable de Freitas, I'd like you to meet Detective Inspector Penny Gray."
Penny was lying in bed with tubes running from her nose and wrists. An old man sat on the other side of her, reading a book.
"Take a seat, Donna," said Elizabeth. "I want you two to get to know each other."
Elizabeth told Donna about Penny's career and how strong she had once been in her mind and body. She described how Penny had fought the men who wanted to stop her just because she was female and angry,
and how she had never risen higher than Detective Inspector, despite her abilities. Finally, Elizabeth put her hand on Penny's.
She was troubled, Donna. That's why she enjoyed looking over the old cases. She could finally be the boss.
After they left, so different in age, but shoulder to shoulder and taking the same steps, Elizabeth had turned to Donna and said,
"You know better than me, of course, but not all the fights have been won."
"I don't think they have, no," Donna had agreed.
They had continued in silence out through the front doors of Willows, happy to be breathing the air of the outside world. Back at home, was this really home now? Donna can see on her phone that Carl has a new girlfriend. But Donna is not really thinking about Carl anymore. The visit to Penny has made her sad. There are many reasons why Donna would like to solve these murders, and she adds making Detective Inspector Penny Gray proud to her list.